Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. Tonight, well, number one, I guess I'm not broadcasting live from the gatehouse. Number two, I haven't been here in a couple of weeks, which is probably a good thing anyway, because I have not been very well. I'm still kind of fighting a virus. I guess that's what it was that I picked up, where I've been coughing profusely and full of, not to be rude about it, but it's full of snot. Which really makes it kind of hard to talk or to have any kind of level of conversation, especially when I get a breakout into a cough. But anyway, nevertheless, folks, I am back. As well, I should share with you as well, I have AC Ford that we were supposed to be on last week. She's an art therapist with Full Circle Art Group. That's also a big part of the gatehouse as well. We were supposed to meet last week, but it did not work out that way. Like I say, again, with my feeling like I am, and it's just the way it worked out anyway. But anyway, she is rebooked for November the 1st, and we were going to talking about when she joins us. Obviously, I'm going to be honoring women by continuing on with that as well. But Lacey has done a lot of Lacey's had a busy year, put it that way, and I'm really looking forward to having her on here. We're being a very, very big part of the Healing Voices Within, which just passed, which we've talked about already in the previous episode. If you're unclear about it, go back and you can hear it and know what I'm talking about. Lacey will be on November the 1st. I believe it's November the 1st, if I have my dates correct here anyway. But in the first week of November, first Thursday of November, Lacey will be on here with joining us, which is, I believe, in 2 weeks from now. But anyway, folks, tonight I kind of want to go back to basics. Like I said, I'm broadcasting from home. Here I am in the comfort of my own basement on my beautiful, big, lovely leather red couch. And while doing something kind of, I've done it a couple times in the past. And just for some crazy reason, I just like doing it tonight. And again, like I said, I'm still kind of fighting this thing. So I kind of wanted to be comforted home. And and I do apologize if I passed on my sickness to anybody else who might have got it in my midst, like my partner, for example, and luckily my roommate, I don't think got it, so that which is a good thing. But anyway, folks, I am not here tonight to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. I am not a therapist, psychologist, or anything of the sort. Anything I talk about will be of my own experiences and stuff that we do at the gatehouse. And I just thought that, well, tonight, for example, well, I'm going to talk about, people-pleasing. And trust me, when I talk about people-pleasing, I am the king at it. I have been the king at it pretty much all my life. And I know for a fact now, especially all these years I've been working on myself and the things I've been doing, I really know it was all part of my trauma experience as a child. And today, well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And throw that in here and there, and maybe you can kind of relate in some ways for yourself. And what I do does not necessarily mean, or rather what I've done for myself to help myself so I don't do this, may not necessarily work for you. So what I'm going to say is rather that these are my own experiences. And I'm certainly, like I said, I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. So let's be very, very clear on that, folks. My healing journey is important. It has been very important for me to try to find a way other than my irrational thoughts, which I've dealt with pretty much most of my life, and only beginning to realize, I guess, later on in life and through my healing journey that my worth is more than what I always self-perceive it to be. And, which is kind of a good thing because it kind of helps you, well, kind of like what I'm talking about tonight, for example, having good boundaries on when you should say no and when you shouldn't say no. Here I'm using that should word, which we don't really use around the house too a lot, or period, because by shooting on yourself and others implies that you should be doing that. And really there's not. It's just about whether you have the capacity to do it or not. And if you don't, well, then that's not so bad either. You gotta, try not to be so hard on yourself and realize that, well, over a period of time, as you work on yourself and some of these feelings you might be feeling by wanting to do so or shitting on yourself, as for example, I realize that it's really quite pointless, and it doesn't work for you, is what I'm trying to say. Or in this case, I'm talking about myself. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, where I'm shitting on myself as where I could have done this or I could have done that, or I should, as I've stated quite all over the map, as I just pointed. But nevertheless, you know, it's all part of my transformation. And within saying that, I like to say this as well, and I like to quote this from Jay Manziel. But first off, I hope I'm getting out there, because I'm at home, I'm on my computer, I'm in my basement, I'm on my laptop. Normally I have a big microphone here in front of me. I don't have that, so I'm only hoping that I'm getting out there right now to you listening, who could be listening live and who could be listening to later on as a podcast, since that's what this is. But what I love about this podcast is it's live, and you can hear me anywhere and everywhere. Anyway, folks, so I'm going to quote from Jay Manziel, like I'm talking about, and this is about transformation. And I just want you to keep this in the back of your mind through my whole conversation that I'm talking about. And it's kind of related to what I'm talking about, and I think it's very, very important, because in the process of trying to better yourself or to try to get over some things or to get stronger on feelings towards yourself and others, and having belief that, you know, just because you do say no, as an example, like what we're talking about, that is not the end of the world, and the person's not going to, you know, have a hard time on the other end, and it's not going to be the end of the world if you say no. And the person will understand, well, things happen and this is the way it goes. But it's, you know, like I'm talking about not just, and what I'm using here now, it could be used in any kind of daily life, like your job, with friends, your relationship. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit more different, especially in an intimate relationship. But nevertheless, having good boundaries and learning when to say no and yes are so very, very important. But when you have false beliefs about towards yourself and believing that you should do more to, well, whatever that may be, whether it be for yourself, what I'm talking about towards yourself, I mean, whatever it may, however it may satisfy your feelings of guilt or remorse or whatever you may be feeling, and those are just some examples. It could even be ego, for heaven's sakes. I had to throw that in there because I could not let that get away. Ego could be thrown there and there as well. Who knows where you could be coming from? But in my case, it wasn't really ego. It was just a question. It was probably a question of, more of where I was brought up. For example, my so-called moralities got in the way of this as well. Never mind my insecurities to my childhood sexual abuse, but my moralities in regards to where we should help one another as a human being. Those virtues were instilled in me by my grandparents, which were very good at installing values such as that in helping your fellow man, for example. And I think that's still very, very important and should not be discarded, regardless of my abuse that I may be talking towards myself, and regardless of how it made me feel, from the self-worth, as what I pointed out, the guilt, the shame, the feeling that I had to, rather the feeling of being inadequate, as kind of where it falls in, I've ever said it already, I guess, in so many indirect ways. But nevertheless, about being inadequate and feeling that also, oh, I should throw this in here as well, that by doing so, that people will like me. Or they will like me, and, you know, when I think about for many, many, many years, about where that was actually it, where people would like me and I would actually be accepted, but Not realizing that I never even liked myself or accepted myself. Actually, I kind of did, but never really, that never came out like in the forefront, if you catch my drift, from the past. But now, obviously, a different story because I recognize all those things. But nevertheless, these sort of thoughts were instilled in myself. And believing that, you know, that, well, I didn't deserve to be, well, I wasn't worthy, I wasn't, you know, I had to always continuously help somebody else because I felt I was a very, very bad person. And being a bad person, well, that was just like another part to it, kind of like, I guess I kind of like went with the self-worth and all the other things, kind of get the drift what I'm talking about. So therefore, I guess my point being is, it really makes it difficult to believe that, you know, you can, you know, you can't say no. And you know, I have struggled with that for so long, you know, and, you know, taking on, I'm sure there's many, many out there who can literally can get this and understand this, are taking on way more, and pardon me if I ever use this language, but it's just blue-collar language, taking on way more than you can chew. And by doing so, you can get yourself caught into some pretty, you know, well, good predicaments, you know, such as not getting things done. And making people could be making people angry at you. Your family could be disappointed at you. Excuse me. Your boss, your employer. Who knows? But the thing is, you know, not understanding what your own personal boundaries are and what you're capable of taking or not taking on, as far as your responsibilities are concerned, are really, really, really big. Well, maybe you do, but you just don't know how to say no. That could be it. I know for myself, that was kind of like what it was. I kind of had all those things put together. I had my so-called virtual morals that were instilled in me growing up when I was a child, a young child, while I was being abused at the same time. So all that is very, very, very confusing for me. You know, trying to draw a line between, you know, you're taking advantage of me or maybe that's not so much the case of that, or just the person is thinking I'm just a nice person, or maybe the person just thinks that I can just take it, I can handle it, and I can do it. Not really knowing really what's going down there, but not really expecting they would really know anyway, one way or another. But nevertheless, you have these thoughts and feelings going through you are just totally out of control or overwhelming, and you just, well, sometimes you just don't have a handle on what you're doing. And now imagine this, if you have a family and you have a job, and then you do a bunch of other things on top of that, like you're involved in sports, and oh my gosh, you just have a whole bunch of things going on. Anyway, oh geez, looks like my roommate is just coming in. So if I stop for just a moment, that is why, and I will be back. But other than that, because he just only goes off and does his own things, so I will continue on what I'm talking about. So if I briefly stop for that moment, like I've just pointed out, that is why. And I know I'll be laughing in the background too, like I will be in a moment. But nevertheless, if you normally comes in and says hi. But anyway, folks, that's what's happening. But to what I'm talking about. Well, establishing those things for yourself and understanding those things towards yourself is not always an easy thing to kind of place and put together. But one of the beautiful things about what I learned about being at the Gatehouse is over the years and the time that I've spent working on myself is to kind of place those things into place and to you know, understand what they mean towards myself and work through these things and not feel bad about it. But nevertheless, that's kind of what you know, what goes on in dealing with that. And I've learned so many things over the years that to help me understand that, not just through personal experiences, but by actually talking to other people that have been through this experience and seeing what they've done and watching what they've done, and those things are very, very important, you know, such as social media, you know, talking to other people, you know, understanding what they're doing and talking about and what they're doing and what helped them and what didn't help them. And you know, that's the thing with this process, is that you got to understand that sometimes you have to try multiple different things to find out what really works and what doesn't work. And sometimes that's not always an easy struggle. You need to keep that in mind as well. Excuse me. Like, for example, like when you fail, you know, not giving up and then finding something else that does work for you. So these sort of things you kind of need to work out along the way, because you kind of also need to expect failure along with your successes and understanding what works for you and doesn't work for you. So over a period of time, you know, even if it means, you know, you got to write it down or you journal or something to keep track of what you're thinking about and doing and understanding what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Again, like I say, this may not be an easy process for you, but nevertheless, understanding that something like this takes time and does require a certain amount of be polite about assertiveness drive to want to try to sort that out. And if it does, it takes however long. You can't really put a time limit on it or anything of the sort. Just understand that it's a process, and each step, you need to work through it until you kind of figure it out. It's not an easy thing to do for some, and it may be easy for you to do, but it's not really, you're not really going to figure that out until you try it. So moving on, would be, when I talk about journaling and writing this stuff down and what more I guess I could say about that is that, well, again, I've talked to many people that they just can't journal. So, what else can you do to remind yourself of those thoughts or experiences that kind of trigger you to or have you believe that you can't and you can't say no? So, well, you could do other things such as meditation. You could find an animate object, for example, or something that will help you in that situation to remind you that, something even simple as saying no, or if you feel triggered because you have that. I'm just kind of throwing this out there as an example of things that you can kind of guide yourself along the way of reminding yourself that if you are at that moment, for example, and you can't say no, then you trigger because of something. Well, I'm kind of just going all over the map here, and let me just go back to what I'm really getting at is what I'm talking about by journaling and writing this stuff down and keeping track of it. What it really, really does for you is gives you a basis of, if you remember, like the last time you overcommitted in something, for example, and you're able to write it down, what you were feeling and thinking at that time would be really, really, really helpful in regards to remembering why you did that to begin with. Or if you have a succession of events that happened and for some reason you can't apply yourself in that manner and you can't figure out why, what's going on, then maybe writing it down, what you were feeling and thinking at those times, would actually help you kind of find your way, what you're looking for. Now, on the other hand, you could also go and talk to a professional, which I would also recommend you do as well. If you're really, really soul-searching and you can't understand why you're so stuck all the time. But I'm only giving you examples of what you could do if you are and you are self-motivated and you want to try something different because you feel you're stuck on these things and you don't, and you're having a hard time trying to change and you don't feel you have enough, you don't have enough nerve or you feel whatever you might be feeling. I mean, it's kind of all over the map and kind of that's what happens to you when you need to make a decision like that and realize and say, oh my God, I've overcommitted, I can't do this. And where am I going with this? So, indubitably, learning to say no is really, really, really a hard thing. Again, you could fall back on these things why you might be not wanting to say no. Again, it could be your job, for example. You could feel insecure about that. Who knows? It could be so many different things. But what I've been giving you is my experience, and that is I kind of encompassed it both. Both trauma and my values. Well, I know over the years when I talked about when I had to learn things and write things, I'm making all these suggestions here what you could do to try to find out what's going on and why you think that way and why you would believe that You know, that's all you deserve. And you know, it's a lot of work. It was for me anyway. I had to do a lot of soul searching and do a lot of talking with a lot of people and realizing that you know, failures, I guess, is kind of what I'm talking about. I had to do a lot of failures before I really understood that that really my self-worth was really more. And you know, and the crazy thing is about this whole conversation that I'm having here right now is realizing and understanding that a lot of the stuff I took on for myself, and a lot of I would probably overdo what I would do, I would say that 90% of the time, not 90% of the time, 98% of the time, or 99% of the time, or even 100% of the time, I would always get all of these things all done. But the only trouble is, after I've got it all done, I always felt, well, I certainly never ever had that feeling of being complete, like I've done something good or something bad. All I got a lot of times was I was mentally exhausted, and it certainly didn't make me feel any better. It just proved that I can do all these things, some kind of super human or something like that, you know, like this is really, 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 this is the hard part, really, really got frustrating, is thing you can do all these things, which I used to do all these things, not really knowing why, and not really getting anything out of it other than feeling the way I felt, and it was kind of like I just described, I would feel guilt, I would feel shame, and sometimes I'd even feel anger. And you know why I would feel anger? Sometimes, because sometimes I felt that people were taking advantage of me, and sometimes I would, the way I would have this shame is because I would let myself go into that, and where I'd never say no, and therefore I have control over the outcome of what I was feeling or thinking. So you kind of get the drift when I'm talking. I know I kind of went over the map there a little bit, but I think you got the general logistics of what I'm talking about in regards to, you know, setting up a boundaries for yourself. But when I talk about boundaries now what about good personal boundaries? Now, what do you consider to be good personal boundaries for yourself? You know, what boundaries to begin with? You know, boundaries are, a boundary defines a self-imposed limit, if you're not sure of that. It helps you remember where we were and the other person begins. Boundaries are separate from one another. This does not mean we do not, as a human community, merge on some level. However, merging without internal boundaries is the place that creates embarrassment, which can further cause confusion and conflict in relationships. It also leads to, in fragmented of boundaries, violation of abuse. Where there is abuse, there is anger. When we feel anger, we need to make a boundary. Where areas of anger constricts, boundaries contain. It is therefore in our best interest to develop positive boundaries for a clear definition in our relationships. Boundaries are made of physical, emotional, intellectual, and even spiritual dimensions, and are influenced by culture, personality, and life experiences, roles. So therefore, regardless of the issues, making positive boundary means taking responsibility, thus loving the decision, and even having to say no to someone. Positive boundaries are about discipline, not punishment. We are about punishing someone. We are harsh and unloving and shutting out of the other person or pushing them away far from us as far as we can. This is not the same as separating ourselves from them. Because they take responsibility when they make a boundary, this also gives freedom and choices. Research and experience indicate that the individual's skills in setting boundaries are also more apt to stand up for their personal rights. So that's just an example. So here's three that you can define, and you can use this in either in you use it in your in your personal life or in your business life or just in general, period. And understanding whether you could be, well, any one of these three or none of these three or anything, but just here's an example of what we call positive boundaries. Positive boundaries positive boundaries, the line between partners and easily identifiable. They're independent beginnings, yet they're close enough to be connected to have an impact on each other's life. In positive relationships, boundaries are flexible. They grow and change. Boundaries can be lowered and promote intimacy or extend to promote safety. Collapse boundaries. With collapse boundaries, it becomes difficult to distinguish one partner from the other. This is called embellishment or collapse boundaries. Partners in an embellished relationship generally try to merge from one other in order to avoid the emptiness that they can feel alone. This is troublesome because the partners either seek to lose themselves in or to expect the other partner to become lost in them. So that's an example of collapse boundaries. Now, one more, rigid boundaries. Rigid boundaries exist when the partner is completely self-contained and having little impact on the other with very little emotional connection. This is emotional detachment relationship. These boundaries is this relationship tend to be more like walls that prevent true intimacy. So those are just three examples of what, you know, what boundaries could really be or not be. You know, discovering these things, like I pointed out a few times already, and we're not easy things to figure out. You know, when you're talking about boundaries, and I know when I came to the house, to the gatehouse, that is, I was kind of shaking my head, but what the hell are you talking about boundaries? And even to this day, I think I have pretty good boundaries, and I'm told I have a pretty good wall for the most part, and I can pretty much say no anytime without too much hesitation. Maybe because I'm just getting older and I'm probably just fed up or something like that, or I've become cranky or something. I have no idea, but nevertheless, I have learned pretty good at the same time. But I've also learned, too, at the same time, that what I learned as a child as far as my good qualities of being a people pleaser, if I can use that terminology again in that aspect, or my good virtues, if I may say so, is... you know, I was always brought up to help your fellow man. I remember growing up and for example, and like I've talked about growing up on a farm and knowing that my neighbor, for example, if there's a tragedy or if there's something wrong or somebody's sick or something and they couldn't get their crops in, well, the idea was that all the neighbors would get together and help them get that done so that to help them get, you know, so they can move on. And because, you know, a certain part of the family was not able to go up there and help them do it because of illness or it's a tragedy or something. And that was just a neighborly thing to do. That's what we do here in the West anyway. That's how we were brought up, and at least in the country life, that's how we were brought up anyway. Then on the other side, if you have that demon of, you know, the trauma side of me, like I was talking about, where, well, I had to do this just so that person would like me. That's quite a battle between both. Where do you kind of draw the line? And what's supposed to be so-called virtuous values versus or good homestead values or whatever you want to call them versus people-pleasing, where do you draw the line? That's a really, really hard thing. That was a really hard thing for me to define, and I still sometimes have a hard time defining the line between both because that's just the type of sort of person that I am. I'm one of those people that just goes all the time, sometimes I have to remind myself that I need to step away and kind of get a hold of myself and say, okay, well, Stu, I think you're really taking off more than you can chew. Like, for example, like even now, let me tell you what I do right now. And trust me, I've cut back way a whole lot more than I used to do a lot more. And as it stands right now, work's kind of slow right now, so that's kind of been a kind of blessing in a sense. But typically, I'm used to working, you know, long weeks, and plus I do my volunteering, and I run a bowling league through the winter months, and I'm involved in this and I'm involved in that. So my tables are usually pretty, pretty full. And so when I finally do get downtime, it's usually only on the evenings, on the weekends, and that's not always the case, depending on my commitments on other things that I do. So my time is usually very, very, very full. I do love to work and the type of work that I do, but I also do love the volunteering that I do, which is very, very dear to my heart because it's not only... it's dear to my heart because I'm able to get back, but what it's given me in order to do what I have, or it's my so-called gifts, as I'm making reference to now, which I kind of never really looked at that way. And I remember, you know, it's funny, I'm going to throw this in right now. I remember a certain person I know who makes references as being gifts. And I shook my head a long time ago when I heard this person say this. Well, how can they be gifts? And then I heard this person's perspective. meaning that, well, what the gift was for that person was the gift was meeting people that have been through a very, very similar experience, and it also allowed this person to, you know, to excel in things which they never, ever dreamed of possible in doing, you know, such as, you know, writing books and doing music and as examples, and, you know, things like that as an example. So, you know, having that, I thought, or rather hearing that, I should say, I thought that was kind of strange. And, you know, I really never looked at my trauma as being a gift. And more I've thought about it, I guess, over the years, and what I've seen from it now, and I look at the opportunities that it's given me, like, for example, I'm sitting here talking to you, like, to me, this is a gift. I never in my dying or never in my crazy years that I've been around that I've ever expected to be sitting here talking like this in front of, you know, literally the world. I can put it that way. Thank heavens for that, you know, lucky for me for social media and being able to broadcast through the World Wide Web. It's given me great opportunity to really get out there more than I ever could on regular radio, that's for sure, or television or anything like that. So it's given me a great opportunity to connect with people all around the world with my trauma. It's allowed me to you know, this is going to kind of sound kind of egotistical, and I really think it is, but it's allowed me to get a recognition from the Queen, Governor General of Canada, for the work that I've been doing. And, you know, I mean, I never would have expected anything like that. I mean, I guess to a lot of people, it really, really wouldn't really mean a lot, I guess, in some aspects. Being a so-called, well, I'm not really one of these people that follow the system very, very well and never have been very good at it, but nevertheless, I do like, you know, that was, you know, still kind of mind-blowing, and getting recognized for that. I mean, I never really would have expected that, and you know, it's unfortunate I can't really, I really don't share with a whole lot of people, but it's something for myself to remind myself that what I've done, you know, for myself and also, you know, for others in some crazy aspect that way, reminding me that, you know, by helping others, you know, you can move mountains, you know, not just within yourself but with others. You know, I've had other certain many situations where I've had to. Where I've gotten to meet people, you know, influential people, you know, and not so much that they're influential, but just important people, I guess, and be part of events and part of things which I never really thought possible. You know, allow myself to publicly speak about what I'm speaking about now, in universities, colleges, you know, talking about suicide prevention, being able to teach suicide prevention, you know. Things like that, things which I never really ever, early what I have ever even considered doing whatsoever in my life, and yet those are the things that I've done. You know, you know, I don't always think about that. I mean, rather, I don't think about these things. It's not a daily thing, but that's a really good subtle reminder of helping you remind yourself that you are worthy and you do have worth. Not just for yourself, but in society, again, which was one of those things that I really, really struggled with, having self-worth, not just for myself, but just having a purpose and wanting to, you know, wanting to give back, you know, what was given to me. You know, it's hard even for me talking about that, even mentioning those things, because it's really not me. I'm not really born to gloat over my successes, but I can gloat on the fact that I am sitting here talking to you, and I've been doing this now for over 4 years, so I guess that's one good thing. Another thing that I've done, I know there's other people out there doing what I'm doing now too, but I don't know anybody's been talking about childhood sexual abuse for over 4 years. If I had, I wish somebody would show me, and I know there is now, and I say kudos for them. It's about time. I found somebody. I wish I had remembered who they were, but there's somebody in the West Coast that's doing this in California, and they're talking about this, and I think they have a daily program. And I say, great, finally, about time. More should be doing about this. But nonetheless, that was just an example of what I told you with my own experience on how you can do these things, and those are kind of things to help me, were kind of things to kind of help me realize that that I do have self-worth, and that I can say no. It took me a long time to figure that out. No, what the hell's up with that? Really, most people don't even understand the word no sometimes. Some people just automatically think you're going to do it. So really learning this value, or really this one verb, this noun or verb, or you know what I'm talking about, this one word, no. Just no. None. No, thank you. I can't do it. It's a really hard thing to really learn. And what happens if you have codependency? I haven't really talked about that. I have listed here, but what happens if you're codependent as well? That really adds a really, really weird twist to it as well. Like sometimes, here's a great example. What happens if you feel like your boss is codependent on you, or you have a friend that just, I mean, you really want to be this person's friend, but yet this person cannot do nothing for themselves. Can't do anything. And they, you know, you don't want to hurt them, but yet you want them to try to learn to do things on their own. Well, I hate to tell you, but I've had to learn that when I've had friends like that, they couldn't, barely tie their shoelaces on. I had to basically, this is going to sound really kind of hard. I mean, I just basically had to cut them off. And what I mean by cut them off, not cut them off not being a friend. In some cases, you might want to do that, but that's totally up to you. But in my cases, what I would do, what I would have to do in the past is, not so much I would cut them off and be my friend. I would just cut them off saying that I can't do it. That's what I mean by that. And learn to limit. And what I mean by limit, rather learn to limit yourself to what you'll do if you want to. So if, by doing so, allow me to do all the things that I do. So learning balance and self-respect about doing is so crucial and important. You know, I am comfortable and happy with what I do. Like I love going out talking about what I do at the Gatehouse. I love talking about suicide intervention. I really totally enjoy doing that, not just for what it's done for myself, but I also very, very, very strongly is needed in society, as where society is so afraid to talk about these things. And I refuse not to really, not talk about it. And as where a lot of people have stigma, and they're afraid to talk about it, they don't know how to talk about it, they don't know how to deal with it, for whatever reason that may be. But I like the fact that I've been given that ability to go there and do that work. Not many people are. And on a human factor, or what I call a human factor, or a blue-collar level, because I'm neither a professional or anything of the sort. The only thing I have experience in is saying nothing. And I'm quite proud of that. The idea of what I've learned, in order to get some time to hear people's stories and to hear whether their stories, whether they're bad or good, or sometimes, rather sometimes, it's a must that by not saying anything and just giving them a safe place to talk about it is good enough for them to say the story and not feel that that person's going to be shamed or ridiculed in any way, just as I've had that experience. And giving them a safe place, like I have, has been so crucial for finding my way, and something simple as saying no. Can't really talk a whole lot more about this, but I want them on here tonight and just go back to basics. This is one of the things we've learned. We talk about boundaries. I know when I first came to the Gatehouse back in 2011, I did the program, a men's program. I was just scattered. I sounded a little bit earlier. That's how I was. I had learned certain things about myself. I had to learn to, what was right, what was wrong, what I felt good with, what I felt guilty about. Why do I feel that I have to give more of myself than I can actually handle? But you learned. I learned. And being the person I am a multitasker anyway, which I never learned that out. I do like to multitask. And I usually do succeed pretty good for the most part. But sometimes I fail too. I'm not perfect. And I guess that's the beautiful thing about it. And the other thing about it is understanding where my boundaries were in regards to, you know, what I do, what I didn't do, and not feeling bad about it after for saying that I can't do it. Because when you think about it, you know, people truly know you and know anything about you. And if you say no, and, you know, and another thing I should point out to you as well, don't always feel you have to give them a reason to why you can't do it. Just plain simple no, you can't do it. Frankly, I'm a very private person, so if I say no, and usually what I mean by that is that I say no is no, and I really don't need to give you an explanation. And furthermore, this is going to sound really rude, but I love this anyway, it could be none of your effing business. You know, it's that plain and simple. You know, you're not my mama, I'm not your mama. You know, we don't need to explain ourselves. That's one thing I used to do a lot, was to explain myself all the time. I do not do that anymore. The hell with that. I have I've learned that I have a little bit more dignity than that. And if I do, or if I don't, well, I certainly have it there because I'm certainly not explaining myself in that fashion. And nor, you know, unless the person really deserves to know, then I would suggest you say so. But that's not really an easy no is no. Boss being a good example. You know, you just no is no, I have commitments, or that's all you have to say. Don't need to say that you're going to your daughter's first communion or anything like that, or you're going to a wedding. It's none of their business. That's a little harsh, but really the truth of it and the reality of it. Because at the end of the day, most people really don't give a damn one way or another. They just want to know one way, that either be nosy or they really don't generally care. Anyway, that's just my perception. And that's kind of how I do it. It works for me. It may be a little bit hard for some people, but for the most part, it really, really, really works well for me. But folks, I think I'm going to leave this for now. It was interesting talking to like this well tonight, and to be honest with you, I was really, really nervous in the beginning because I haven't done this in a while, kind of like this, what I'm doing. So I'm pushing 300 shows now, somewhere around there, in just over 4 years. So you'd think I would have got it by now, or I wouldn't get nervous. Well, sometimes I still do get nervous, and I'm kind of nervous talking about this tonight because, well, for one thing, I want to look at her there for a moment, but that's all right. That was part of what I'm kind of was getting at. And by being scattered, that means that I was indecisive, out of thought, and that's just happened to me. What can I say? So I apologize. But I think you get the general gist of what I'm talking about. We're talking about people pleasing. We're talking about no. And I really appreciate your time. And I really encourage you to tune in when I sign off. If you haven't seen my Lacey is my very first guest, Lacey Ford, in November. And again, we're empowering women, survivors of childhood sexual abuse, sharing their healing story as well. Lacey's done some incredible, incredible things as well. We are at the Gatehouse on November. I should have said this right from the beginning. We are having suicide awareness training on November 3rd and the 4th. That is Saturday and Sunday. We do have availability if you're interested. And you can call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900. Or you can go to the Gatehouse website at thegatehouse.org, and you can do it online. If it's not working and having a problem, I gave you a number at 416-255-5900. You can call, and any of our staff or volunteers would be more than happy to provide help. And the next date will be just the 8th and the 9th. Again, it's a Saturday and Sunday. We have some openings. This will be the last for 2018. And I kind of forgot about this announcement as well. We do have another partners program coming up on November the 17th. This is becoming a very, very popular program. We had such a show house last time we did that. And I know it's going to be the same way again this time. So, again, if you're interested and you're with a partner, whether it be in an intimate relationship or non-intimate relationship, a friend, could be a mother. You can even come single if you want to. But you'll find it very, very useful for what we talk about. It's just a day's workshop, and we're talking basically about transformation with you and your friend or partner. and helping you, and even helping the non-survivor as well. So, folks, I wish you a good weekend coming up, and I will be back next Thursday. And again, I will probably, well, I'm not sure. I may have a surprise guest. But I'm not 100% sure yet for confidence. I won't say who or what yet. So, until I've confirmed it. But if not, I will be back. Going back to basics one more time before Lacey comes on. So, folks, I bid you a good week. Thank you for your time. And most importantly, bid yourself self-care. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. Good night. Thank you. Bye, folks.